word yet if there will be a recount in the House District 34 race, and the Haynesboro Assembly will vote on whether to establish a motor vehicle tax. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The clock is ticking on a recount of ballots in House District 34. Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai certified the race Friday, which means a request for a recount must be made by Wednesday. The totals changed after the State Review Board's process, but only very slightly. Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins picked up 2 votes, which now puts him 34 votes ahead of his opponent, Republican incumbent Bill Thomas. Elections Director Gail Finumiai explains the 2-vote adjustment.
They came from a Sitka precinct where the number of precinct register signatures was greater than the number of cards cast, and so the State Review Board ran the ballots, and Mr. Christ Tompkins gained 2 votes in that precinct.
The race remains within the margin for a state-funded recount. Thomas said Friday he's still considering whether to ask for a recount. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday evening, where the group could decide to establish a motor vehicle registration tax. The goal of the tax is to establish a junk car program and offset the cost of the borough providing junk car disposal. The original ordinance suggested establishing different tax rates based on the year of the vehicle. But after an October 30th Finance Committee meeting, the ordinance was amended by the Assembly to instead have a flat $22 biannual fee, regardless of class or year of vehicle. Staff was also directed to develop a business plan for a public-private partnership of a junk car disposal program. The Assembly will discuss those options that Borough Manager Mark Ernest has researched. There's also a motion on the table to amend the Borough Code to prohibit verbal and physical abuse at the harbor. It would also give the harbor master the authority to suspend or revoke harbor privileges. This ordinance has been discussed at least 4 meetings, but adoption of the ordinance was postponed at the last meeting. Several resolutions appear on the consent agenda, meaning the Assembly won't take up discussion of the resolutions unless requested by an Assembly member or the public. One resolution would have the Assembly express its support to the state that the Chilkat Bridge replacement project be designed and constructed to the highest possible industrial standard. The bridge is scheduled for upgrades in the next few years. Bringing the bridge up to the highest possible industrial standard would allow for more heavy industrial loads to and from Haines to the Yukon and interior Alaska. This subject has been discussed lately in reference to possible mining operations in Alaska and the Yukon that might be interested in using Haines port facilities in the coming years. The draft resolution states the upgrade could be, quote, important for future economic development opportunities. There are also resolutions before the Assembly to approve expenditures for a new pickup for the Haines Police Department and the replacement of the boiler at the Public Services Building. The Assembly will also discuss a timeline for a manager evaluation and contract review. At the last meeting, the Assembly voted to extend Manager Mark Ernest's contract for an additional year, pending a satisfactory evaluation. Mayor Stephanie Scott has suggested a timeline for that review, which would take place throughout January, and then take action on Ernest's contract by the end of January. A complete agenda and Assembly packet is available on the Haynesboro website. The meeting is Tuesday evening at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. United Fishermen of Alaska has posthumously named 2 Alaska fishermen to the organization's Alaska Seafood Hall of Fame, including Eric McDowell, formerly of Haines. McDowell was a Southeast Alaska salmon trawler and former Bristol Bay and Southeast gill netter and halibut and black cod longliner. He started McDowell Group in 1972 as a one-man office and expanded the firm to its current full-time staff of 14 with offices in Juneau, Anchorage, and Bellingham. He remained actively engaged with the business and its clients until his death in August. McDowell made a career of studying Alaska and helping corporate, nonprofit, and public agencies succeed. Commercial fishing was one of McDowell's lifelong passions. Raised in Haines, he began hand trawling around Juneau in 1970, and in 1978 bought the 38-foot Christopher K and learned to fish the outside waters of Cape Spencer and Icy Point. Also inducted was John Winther of Petersburg. UFA established the Alaska Seafood Hall of Fame in 2009 to honor the 50th anniversary of Alaska statehood. Decent weather this fall has helped divers harvesting sea cucumbers and geoduck clams from the seafloor in southeast Alaska. One of the dive fisheries is wrapping up this month, while the other should continue through the winter. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The sea cucumber fishery started up October 1st with a guideline harvest level of 1.5 million pounds. Divers had landed most of that by mid-November. Phil Doherty is executive director of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association. That's an industry group based in Ketchikan.
The good thing about the sea cucumber fishery so far is the divers have all been safe. We've actually had some pretty good weather during most of our openings in October, as I'm sure you realize that. So, it's been a good season for sea cucumbers.
The slow-moving, bottom-feeding sea creatures are shaped like their vegetable namesakes, and they're sold in Asian markets. They've fetched a strong price this year and saw good interest from the fleet in the early part of the season. Jan Rumble, Southeast Dive Fisheries Research Project Leader for Fish and Game, lists some of the numbers from this fall's fishery.
The harvest by week has steadily decreased from about 300,000 the first week to 61,000 pounds this past opening. The average price per pound for sea cucumbers was about $4, which is the second highest on record. And the participation by the divers dropped off during the season as well, 192 divers in the first opening, decreasing to 63 divers during the November 5th opening.
The guideline harvest levels for the various areas of Southeast are set based on stock assessment diving done by Fish and Game each summer. The department continues to report reduced numbers of cucumbers in some areas due to sea otter predation, and some areas did not open to fishing because of low numbers. The fleet had caught most of the overall guideline harvest level by the second week in November, and only a few areas remain open to fishing. Meanwhile, diving for geoduck clams opened up October 1st, with fishing one day a week in areas mostly around Ketchikan and Prince of Wales Island. The overall guideline harvest level for the large clams this year is 743,000 pounds. Fish and Game estimates the fleet had landed about 320,000 pounds by November 9th. Most of the 38 geoduck fishery areas in the region are opened on a two-year cycle, and clam stocks have also been impacted by sea otters. Fish and Game determines weekly openings of the various areas around the region based on results of testing clam samples for paralytic shellfish poisoning conducted by the state's Department of Environmental Conservation. Fish and Game's Rumble says geoduck prices started out about $6 a pound this season, but dropped to $3 a pound this month.
Worries that too much product was on the market, and then that was driving down the price. Industry tried to slow down the fishery, so they worked with us to slow it down and imposed the Fish and Game imposed trip limits to try to decrease the total harvest by week so they weren't flooding the market with geoducks. This was effective in reducing the harvest. The first week harvest was 70,000 pounds, and the most recent harvest was 35,000 pounds, and that's what industry wanted.
The fishery had a 700-pound trip limit in place in November, and Sardfas Doherty says that seems to be helping with the price.
The market seems to have been able to absorb that smaller amount of geoducks at a better rate, and the prices seem to be going up. Right now, divers have been between $5 and $6 a pound. We'll hope to get that up a little bit more toward $8, if not $10 a pound before the season's over.
Current prices are still well below what the fleet saw last year. Doherty says geoducks fetched about $15 a pound for a few weeks, and some clams sold for about $20 a pound last year. He says this year buyers in China have been a little bit more fickle, with a glut of clams from Washington State and British Columbia competing with Southeast Alaska's catch. The effort in that fishery has dropped off a little, with 53 divers starting out the season. That's down to 50 this month. Fish and Game planned no opening Thanksgiving week, but diving would reopen during the final week of the month. And with that slower rate of harvest, the fishery is expected to last through the winter. Meanwhile, there's one other dive fishery underway in Southeast, but very little interest in harvest of red sea urchins. The fleet had a guideline harvest level of 3.2 million pounds, but by the middle of this month, only 23,000 pounds of that had been harvested from 13 landings. A weak market for urchins has meant very little participation in that fishery. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org or visit our KHNS News Facebook page. We're always open to your comments and appreciate hearing story ideas and topics important to you. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.